We've been talking about seeking Jesus. It's a play on words because I believe Jesus is the King, and if you seek him, you will actually get to see King Jesus. And our desire, our hope, is that you would fall in love with Jesus Christ. All of this city, all of this town, not just our church. In fact, if you never came back to our church, but you were passionately in love with Christ, we would be super cool with that and very excited. We'd feel like that was a win. Because we want you to know how good Jesus is and how much he loves you. And we've talked about a lot of things. You can listen to them on our website. The messages are there. We talked about praying. We've talked about community. We've talked about reading the scripture. We've talked a lot about seeking Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about worship. And so the question is why worship? Why worship? It's not something that we have a good paradigm for, a good framework, because if you're not involved in church or you're not involved in a religion, worship is very foreign to you. It's very out there. It's this whole thing of what is it about? How should it look? It's more than music, by the way. It's why worship? So why do we do that? And for a lot of you, just the fact that we started with a song and then switched it up, you might be uncomfortable. So if you're uncomfortable, I'm sorry. Jesus says you have to forgive me, so work on that. But it does make us uncomfortable. So like we're used to doing church a certain way, and for us, it's why worship. So I put a scripture on here. It's a story about three wise men who came to see baby Jesus. It's a story you may not hear outside of like Christmas time a lot, because it's one of those stories that it doesn't seem like there's a lot there. All right, we know about the three wise men. You may have seen the Christmas TV shows or been to a play, and the three wise men come, and they come and they give baby Jesus some gifts. And it's kind of an interesting little story, but we brush right by it. But I believe there's some deep truth in that story. And so I want to look at the story, and it's on your insert right there. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod, the king Herod, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. I want you to understand who these guys are, because it's very strange. You have these people that are not Jews. They are not Jews. The Jewish people have been looking at the prophecies of Scripture, and so they knew Jesus was coming. It was very clear they knew a Messiah was coming. They didn't recognize Jesus, but the Hebrew people, they had these prophecies of a Messiah. But you have these people that come from the East, non-Hebrews, non-Jewish people, and all of a sudden when Jesus is born, they see a star, it triggers them, and they go on this huge journey. And they come and they bow down before a baby. And so the question is, who are these guys and how did they know? Well, if you've ever heard the story, it's another easy one. Daniel in the lion's den. You remember that story? The guy Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, or his friends get thrown into the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get thrown into the fire. Well, Daniel was a Jewish person that grew up in the kingdoms of Babylon and Persia, and became up being the head of all the magicians, all the astrologers, all the wise men of that kingdom. He was in charge of them even though he was a Hebrew. He didn't worship their gods, he worshiped his God. In fact, that's the reason he got thrown to the lions. Because they made a law and they said, no more praying to anyone but the king. And Daniel pops open his window and is like, if I can't pray, I can't live anyway. And so he sits there and he says a prayer and they throw him to the lions for disobeying. And Daniel made such an impact in that area that I believe that some of his writings and some of his teachings were still there. And so these wise people from the East, they knew something was going to happen. They remembered Daniel, and he had talked about certain things would happen, and this king would be born in Israel. And so these wise men, these magi, these very respectable people that could read the signs and the times, they make this journey, they make this trip, and they worship a baby because they knew who he was. And in Scripture, in the New Testament, there's at least 11 words used for worship. 11 words. I put the two most popular ones on there. There's one one that's used 11 times. And it talks about worship, and it kind of means the idea of service or submitting. But the word that's used here is the one that's used 51 times. And it means to express an attitude or gesture of one's complete dependence. So it's similar. Or submission. And then it says to a high authority, to fall down and worship, to do obedience to prostrate oneself, to welcome respectfully. And to me, I think that's the clearest thing that I can say about what worship is and why we do it at the beginning, is it's this right here, to welcome respectfully. And so on the back, I put some notes, and the first one, number one, it says, worship is not a warm-up, it's a welcome. It's not a warm-up. It's a welcome. Think about those magi. They come. Obviously, they had means because traveling was not easy. It's not that it's easy today, but it definitely wasn't easy then. They had to have enough resources, supplies. They make this journey. They go across the desert. They're uncomfortable, and they bring enough extra to get back. And then they bring very precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they lay them down at the baby. They fall down, they prostrate themselves, and they welcome the king because they knew the signs, they knew the season. And I'm going to tell you something. If you know the signs and the seasons, you will know today is the day to welcome the king. Today is the day to welcome the king into your midst and to be happy about what he's done and what he is doing. The other thing I want you to know, and if you look on point two, it says, worship starts in your heart, but it involves your body. There's a scripture right there. It says, this was Jesus speaking in John chapter 4. It says, the hour is coming, and now is here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So God is spirit, but Jesus came in the flesh. You can't separate the two. So true worship is one that is of a being of a right attitude. It doesn't matter the music style, and it doesn't matter the location. It doesn't matter who's singing or if it's a nobody singing, maybe it's just you. True worship starts in your heart. In fact, people ask me, they say, Chris, when did you start believing in God? Now, I have not always lived for God. I've lived for myself for a long time before I bowed down my knees to Christ. But I can't remember when I started believing. Because I can just remember driving to school with my mom, and the realest thing, the time that I can remember, man, God is real, she had on, like, the Christian radio station, and the music is playing, and it wasn't a song. Like, I was singing to God. I was worshiping God, and I could remember just feeling God's presence and knowing God was real, and that was just natural. It was a lifestyle. It was just how it was. Like, God is real, and when you sing to him, and when you point your heart to him, and when you welcome him, like, he's there. But we've made it more complicated than that. I remember sitting in the Presbyterian church. That's where I was raised. I love the Presbyterian church. Their worship was out of the book, and it was songs in like a type of English that I wasn't familiar with, like these and thous and like this and that and ETH on the end of words. And I thought they had lisp. I didn't know. But you sing the songs, and it didn't matter that is what you were singing because you read it and you sang it. But my heart was turned to God. I'm talking about being a little kid. Like being young and singing to God and worshiping God, and God's presence was there. There was not a guitar anywhere to be seen. The guy would bring out some weird, like, African instruments sometimes. I didn't know why he did that, like some weird things, and he'd ding them. But we'd sing to God, and we'd, like, God was there. So it starts in your spirit, but it involves your body. And there's something that can happen when you turn your heart to God. Now, sometimes we treat it like a warm-up. You know, we want to get the the music going, and it has to be just right. But I could tell you, the drummer up there that you see, that's my brother-in-law. He's downstairs helping with the kids right now. He works with our youth. But I can remember we took a mission trip, him, my wife, a couple other people. We're in Mexico, and this guy, he beats on everything. Like, he didn't learn how to, nobody had lessons for the drums. He just beats on everything. He's always beat on everything, broke my windshield beating on it when he was younger. I mean, he just beats on every, if it has a bass sound, he's just going to be hitting it with his hand. And we're down there in Mexico in a completely foreign country. And I remember being in church one day, and it was a dirt floor, like dirts, and it was a construction site too, so that made it really extra awesome because there was like nails and pieces of plaster and brick pieces and all this stuff, and they're just having church, and the worship team like couldn't show up from the church, so they're like, young people, can you do something? The guy flips over, him and his buddy flip over some white buckets, and they just start a little beat. And he, I can't do it. You don't want me to do it. I'll embarrass myself. But he starts a little beat. They sing some songs. My wife sings in Spanish, sings in English. And all of a sudden, you have a group of people, half speak English, half speak Spanish. A few people speak both. And they're just worshiping God with some buckets and a dirt floor and hearts open. And I'll tell you, the presence of God has very few times been more powerful than that. Like, we're sitting there, and just God is right there. Like, you can feel him. You know he's there. And when you pray, when you feel God there, somehow prayers are a little bit easier too. And it was just a beautiful night. And I know the power of worship, but I know it starts here. You could have the best guitar players, and thank God we have people that are good. You could have the best singers, but it starts in your heart, and then it goes to your body. And the next thing, right here, the next point right here, it says point number three. Worship positions us to receive from Jesus. Here's a story. There's a man with leprosy. And when Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Think about that. Jesus is coming down the mountain and there's a man with leprosy. We have no concept of that. We have no concept. Maybe there's someone here, but most of us have no concept of what it is to have a disease where there is no cure. Some of us do. But then not only that, like, it didn't just affect you physically, but if you got leprosy, their solution was, all right, well, go away. Go outside. Don't be around. So there's some of us in here, we battle with health things, but, you know, we still have our family, or we can go to the hospital, and we have all that physical struggle. But now you have, you know what? You can't even be around your friends and family. You're sick. You're diseased. Fingers are falling off. Skin is getting ashy. Oh, and guess what? No family for you. Go outside the camp where you can't even be near anyone you love. And this guy comes to Jesus. He's in a bad place. And he falls down before Christ. He's like, Jesus, if you're willing, I know you can do it. And Jesus says, I'm willing. Be clean. As we were praying for this service last night, and we have people that pray for you. We've been praying for you all night. I have. Other people have been well, too. There's people in a room right now praying for you. I really feel like God spoke to me that there's somebody here that I think your eternity could be changed today. That you might be feeling, maybe you're in a different spot, maybe you're feeling similar to the someone with leprosy where things are just falling apart. There's no one to turn to. You do feel alone. I'm telling you, Jesus is willing. I really feel that. And I got here, and the people that have been praying for you too, they shared the same thing. They said, I think someone's coming today. That God really wants to do something big in their life, that he wants to turn it around, he wants to do it a miracle. It could be an eternal change. Like somebody today, you could move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from no hope to all hope, from having nothing to having everything in Jesus Christ. And like God loves you enough, he pulled all the strings in the world possible, and he got you here. And he's saying, if you just position your heart, recognize me as your Lord, I am willing. And I can turn it all around. So if that's you, this is a good day for you. Number four, worship is the will of God for us. Worship is the will of God for us. Like, we were never meant to be out of relationship with God. We were meant to be in relationship with him, that we would be welcoming him. If you go back to the Garden of Eden and you read those stories, it talks about that God would visit the garden in the cool of the day. And normally, most days, they would welcome him. But on the day that sin crept in, the day they disobeyed, they hid from him. And so worship is the opposite of hiding from God, because it's welcoming God into your life. It's not saying that you're perfect. It's not saying that all is well, but it's a welcoming of God, welcoming God into your life. If you think back to the garden, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid. You can't hide from God. No one in this room is hiding from God. They're hiding instead of welcoming. And so why do we start services off with worship normally? It's to welcome him. It's to welcome him, to say we're covered. Adam and Eve were naked. They felt naked and ashamed. You watch that show, Naked and Afraid? I love that show. I think it's crazy. They blur things out, all right, so I don't have problems. But you're out there, they're naked, and you see these guys, and they like to pick like somebody that's really good and somebody that's really dumb. And they put them out on an island, and it's true. And they put them out there, and you see somebody, and they're just drinking water out of the ground and getting sick and vomiting. And then somebody doesn't put anything on. They get sunburnt, and they're just like, oh, I got a sunburn right now from the pool. But, you know, somebody has sunburn head to toe and everywhere in between, and then they sit there. And that's how Adam felt. He was naked. He knew it, and he didn't want to be around God. He tried to hide. But in Christ, we're covered. The lamb was slain. Like, the lamb was slain. Lambs have wool. Wool is clothes. Christ's blood clothes us. It covers us. And so we can be clothed in Christ. We can be clothed through faith in Christ. Not perfect, but covered. I don't know if anybody in here, don't look around. I don't know if anybody in here has a perfect body, but I thank God you're covered. I thank God you're covered. It makes a big difference, because if we all walked in here naked, there'd be no welcoming. There'd be a lot of people looking up, looking to the side. No, I'm glad. I'm glad you're here. But the clothes make it possible. I can look at you and see who you are. I can look in your face and see your presence, your countenance. And you are clothed in Christ. So when God looks at you, he in Christ, he will not see your nakedness. He will not see your ugliness, your inappropriateness, the things that aren't where you want them to be. And that gives you the ability to worship, because when he looks at you, he's just looking at you. He's not, you know, staring at something. He sees you for who you are. And it's the will of God for us to be in relationship with him. It says, therefore, do not be foolish. It is so foolish to go against God's will. It is like trying to fight the ocean. You will never win. You can go out there and punch it all you want. You're going to drown. Have you ever been in the ocean deep? I grew up in Miami, so this is for me, this is how I picture it. When you go out into the ocean, like way past the shipping lanes, where the sea is all one color, and there's not a shore and there's not another boat around, it is a different feeling. Because you look out there and you see the waves that are close, but then you realize how there's waves upon waves upon waves, and it looks like mountains are moving. And you realize you're out there, and what are you going to do? This ocean is bigger than you. And there's things in there that you can't understand and you can't explain, and you just got to roll with it. it is foolish to try to fight God. It says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever just have a song in your heart? They call them like earworms, those songs that you hear once, and it's like you know the words. You heard it once, you know the words. You know the melody, and you may not even be a singer. I bet every person in here, very few, has not had this experience. It's on, it happens, the song gets in there, and it doesn't go away. Well, when that happens in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, that can really change your whole day. When you have the song of the Lord in your heart, when it's the right tune, the right sound, the right words, and it's encouraging, that can bring joy on the inside. Do you realize the Bible says, the scripture says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Picture somebody being happy without music involved, without a melody involved. It's possible. But like all the movies, they always crank up the music, and we're musical beings. It just happens. And I don't play music. I'm not some weird musician person that it's just in the vibrations, man. That's not who I am. But I know how people are, and I know how music does things, and I know why they spend millions of dollars to write a jingle for a product and to put a song in a movie, because I know that you are body, you are soul, and you are spirit, and I know that Christ loves every part of you, and I know that worship should involve every part of you, and when you touch into God with music, it can bring you into a different place, and it can allow you to welcome him. Here comes the bride. When the bride comes down the altar, like they play that song. Everybody knows we stand up. It's just what happens. You react to it. Happy birthday. We just know the song. We all sing along, and it puts us in that position to celebrate someone. And when you worship God in song, it does something, because music is one of the only things that can impact your whole man, your whole person. It can touch your mind. It can touch your spirit. It can touch your emotions. And before you know it, even if you can't dance, your foot is tapping. Now, some of you can probably dance great, but the rest of us, it is what it is. It is what it is. And I'm not trying to force you to do anything, but I'm just trying to say, Jesus said it clearly. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and with all your strength. Worship is like one of the only things you get to do that in, like head to toe. It's not a warm-up. Now, if you don't know Christ and you've never worshiped God, like, I get it. I'm not like a musical person, and I'm not like a singer. I can't sing. I sound like a frog. All right, I'm just a horrible, horrible voice. I can't play an instrument. I can hold the keys. Like, I've tried to learn the guitar. I can hold chords. Like, that's the easy part for me, but this hand only does this. There's no strumming patterns for me. All right, I can tap with one hand, but my foot can't follow along. So there's just no musical skill in me. So it's not like I'm coming from a place where this is, but I just want you to know that worship, as seen in Scripture, it involves your whole person, and it allows you to welcome. Right here it says, how can you worship? Well, this is just how they did it in Scripture. If you can come up with a better way, go for it. But if this is how they did it in Scripture, then I'll start here, because I believe Scripture. But this is how they worship God in Scripture. So one thing they did is it said they sang. They sang. I know the song comes on. Some of us don't like to sing. If you don't want to sing, don't sing. I ain't going to say make you sing. I mean, come on, don't sing. But if you want to worship God like they did it in the Scripture, sing. You don't have to sing loud. In fact, there's some of you, we don't want you to sing loud. Like me, you don't want me belting it out. There's some people in this church that sing loud, please, you sound good. The rest of the people, just kind of mumble a little bit and just keep it low, but keep it pure and honest. You know what I'm saying? And that would be good for all of us. But if you can find another way to do it besides what Scripture says, do. But this is what it says. It says sing. The other thing it said, it says, clap your hands, all you people, and shout to God with loud songs of joy. Why do people clap I've been in, if you've ever been on an airplane to like a foreign country, for some reason they clap when it lands. They're like, yeah, woo! Nobody told them to clap. It's just a natural response of our hearts. Like, we're alive. Great job, pilot. I don't know how you did that. But it just comes. And so sometimes clapping can be a sign of celebration, a sign of welcoming. Somebody comes to the stage and they clap. They welcome them to the stage. It just happens. The last thing there, it says, let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. Lift your hands. This is probably the most awkward one. If you've never lifted your hands before, it's awkward. But you know what? When your team scores, yes, the hand comes up. You don't have to like it. You don't have to say, well, should I raise my hand if my team scores? No, when you get really happy about something, sometimes the hand comes up. And if you're not happy enough to make your hand come up, don't fake it. You wouldn't do that at the game. Yay, touchdown. Woo. Woo, go team. I love you, team. If you're not going to do that at the game, then don't do it in church. But sometimes you can get excited enough that you can raise your hand and it can feel good. I don't get it. I don't understand why it happens, but it does. Now, you know, I mean, there's lots of, do you go like this? Do you go like that? I mean, one hand, two hand, that's on you. All right, don't put it in somebody's face. Don't be annoying with it, you know what I'm saying? In the early church, if you look at the paintings of the early church, the earliest Christian paintings, and that's my major. I was an early church major. The earliest Christian paintings, when they had people with their hands raised, if you want to know how it was in the beginning, the best proof we can find, it was like this. But if you want to go full touchdown, you know what I'm saying? I don't care. I'm not giving you a prescription. I'm just saying there's something that you can do. So in all of this, if you don't want to sing, don't sing. If you don't want to clap, don't clap. And if you don't want to lift your hands, don't lift your hands. None of these are a law. But I know what happens when a church, I'm going to let my friend up here. Mike, would you come over here? Mike, this is Mike Ward. This is the first guy we met before we moved to South Carolina. We told Mike, we want to start a church. This is like 2013-ish. Mike was like, all right, let's do that. And so we have, and I don't know how it's worked out, but it started with prayer. And if you want somebody to pray for you, you talk to this guy and his wife, Beth, who's in the back, and they will pray for you because I know they've been praying for me. So,
can we use that?
Yeah. Morning.
You all good?
Yeah. Praise God. I love the thing about clapping when the airplane lands. I've done that. I heard this story about this old guy, the plane landing, and this there, it's coming and going, and they, you know how the pilot gets out or the people get out and they say have a good day and all that kind of stuff as you get off the plane. This old guy walks up to the pilot, he says, and it was a pretty hard landing. He says, son, did you land this plane or did somebody shoot us down? And they were clapping that day. Chris asked me to kind of share my story and kind of this adventure through worship. And, you know, it's important when you share, particularly in a church setting, you want to make sure that it's at least marginally biblical. Okay. And I want to share two passages of scriptures that involve two words. And there's a kind of a rule or a law or whatever you want to call it in terms of when you're finding or talking about a subject in Scripture. One is called the law of first mention. In other words, when is that word or that term first used in the Word of God? And in this case, the word is worship. And the word, in this case, worship, is first mentioned. This is in the King James, but I'm going to read out of the English Standard. In Genesis 22. And it says that then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And you know that this is the story where Abraham was going to take Isaac up and stick a knife in him, and because that's what God had told him to do. And but he used the word worship. And the word worship there is called shekah. And it means to prostrate, to fall down humbly. And so he was laying down. That's a posture, worship. And then the word praise. And a lot of people have different kind of explanations for worship versus praise. I think sometimes they're interchangeable. I'm not going to get into that. But the first mention of praise is also in Genesis. It's in the book of Genesis, what I just said, Genesis 29:35, and it says, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. That was Leah. She was the wife of Isaac, and that was, she was excited because she wasn't supposed to have kids. And so that word is yada, which means to hold out a hand, as Chris was talking about raising our hands, hold out a hand and worship with extended hands. And I kind of picture it like this. She has, this is her second kid, and she's excited, and she goes, yes, kind of like that. She was doing a double yada there. So now we've done our perfunctory biblical thing, but it all, we're going to roll back to this, okay? Growing up in a Christian home, and for people here that have grown up in church, you know that it's kind of an, there's an expectation when you go to church, you're going to have some music, right? Because it's church, and we sing in church, because if it weren't, we weren't singing, we weren't in church. You know what I'm saying? So we sang, and I was around music all my life. My dad sang, he played records, my mom sang, they sang in church, so I was around music a lot. And it was a, it's a strong component of my life. We sing, like I said, because we're in church, but why do we worship? Why do we praise? The answers to those questions are a part of my journey, because I did the music thing. Those of you that have, you're here for the first time, you know, occasionally I participate with the worship team, and so I play the guitar and I sing a little bit, and I love that, and I've been playing since I was 8 years old. When I was 14, I got my first electric guitar, and that's when I started playing guitar in worship, because we were really hard up in our little church in Idaho, and so they let me play the guitar. And I played the guitar, and I sang, and to the best of my ability, I worshiped and praised Jesus based on what I understood during that season of my life. In 1978, I was in a class, and by this time, I am 30, 31, somewhere in there. I don't know. That was a long time ago. And we were taking this class, and somebody read this passage, and the class was on worship in the context of just people in the presence of God and what we do. And they read this passage from Psalms, Psalm 22:3. And if you've got some way of kind of remembering this, put it in your rememberator, because it's worth holding on to. Psalm 22:3 says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Now, the you there is God. And the Israel is you, if you're born again. You have been grafted into Israel. You have been born again. You are now grafted, adopted into the spiritual Israel, which is the church. And that's as far as I'll take that right now. And this really got me. The you is God enthroned, seated in the praises of Israel. And we now have a new DNA of the kingdom of God. Now, the part that really got me was when we praise God, we are creating an atmosphere in which there is an atmosphere that God likes to breathe in. I want to breathe. I love that. It's kind of like a fresh fragrance, you know, some kind of like, I love gardenias. So we're breathing, and he's breathing it in. And I was overcome by this truth because I realized that when God comes in our worship, He likes to do the stuff that God likes to do. Heal, save, deliver, and on and on. He loves that stuff. The bottom line is this. He's worthy of our praise. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. Is not Jesus worthy of our praise? He has saved us, given us eternity, given us an abundant life. That's just amazing. So Psalm 150 says this, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Chris talking about his voice, don't worry about your voice. If you're breathing, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Let me push this down a little bit. All right. Just kidding, brother. All right, so worship team, why don't you come over here? We're gonna end worship today. And as they're getting up there, I want you to think about something. I don't know where you are with the Lord. I don't know if your heart is right, if your heart is messed up. I really do think there's people in here that your eternity depends upon what happens today. I think there's somebody in here that you are probably not in the best place with God. But I want to show you something in Scripture where it says, the Lord's Prayer, remember that prayer, our Father who art in heaven? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? You may have said it when you were a little kid. Notice how it starts out with our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know how it adds forgive me for my sins like way down the list? Isn't that cool? It starts with acknowledging the fatherhood of God and worshiping his name. And it puts forgiveness down the list. So if you're in this room today, I'm going to invite you to stand right now. And we're just going to worship God. And you may need forgiveness. You may need mercy today. And guess who has it? Our God and Father has more than enough for you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Would you just close your eyes? That way you don't have to worry about what anybody's doing. Now feel no pressure to sing. Don't feel any pressure to clap or any pressure to raise your hands, but just worship the Lord. However that looks for you, whatever you're comfortable with, fake nothing. God is not impressed by faking stuff. But if you love him today, let him know you love him. Let him know you're grateful. We're going to do a couple songs, and then I'll come up and I'll close us out here in a little bit. So thank you, Lord.